chapter number 1 is where we're going to be here tonight. Ruth chapter number 1 as we start the book of Ruth. Of course, we've been going through heroes of the faith on Wednesdays for some time now. And I was going to jump into Joseph, but I decided instead to jump into Ruth here tonight and over the next few weeks, specifically because, one, we're just getting over Mother's Day. Number 2, I just love the character Ruth, and it's been about 3 years since I've covered Ruth at all, and so I wanted to jump in to the life of this important character in God's Word. Ruth, chapter number 1. Let's catch us up a little bit with the context of the time that Ruth lived and what exactly was going on. We find in the first few verses that this was the time of the judges. The book of Judges, chapter number 17, verse number 6, also chapter 21, verse number 25, summarizes this time this way. It says, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That's the time that this character lived. And of course, Ruth, if you're familiar, she was not someone from Israel. She would be a Gentile, much like we would be. But yet she was a woman that decided to serve the Lord. Ruth really, if you want to summarize it, is a comparison contrast between two people, between Ruth and her mother-in-law, Naomi. And then later on, eventually, the kinsman redeemer, Boaz. But today, what we're going to do to start us off with this character is look at three ladies from Ruth chapter number 1. Specifically, we'll look at Orpah, we'll look at Naomi, and we'll look at Ruth as we consider this a tale of three women here tonight. Let's ask the Lord's blessing if we can real quick, and then we'll jump right in tonight, okay? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you. We're so thankful that we can look at your word and study it tonight. Lord, I thank you that that you have given us strength and grace to be here this evening. I pray that you would help us to have energy and excitement as we look at your word. Then, Lord, I pray that you would just work through your word as only you can. Lord, help us to examine ourselves and to make sure that we are where we need to be in some of these important issues as we look at Orpah, Naomi, and Ruth, Lord, here tonight. Lord, strengthen us and help us in these things, we pray. In the name of Jesus, we pray it all. Amen. First person we're going to look at tonight is Orpah, and the characteristic that I want us to examine in the life of Orpah is quitting. Quitting. Specifically, Orpah, the quitter. Now you say, preacher, that's pretty mean. Well, let's look at it. Ruth chapter number 1, if we can, and verse number 6. Ruth 1 and verse number 6. Here's what it says. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, she being Naomi, daughters-in-law being Ruth and Orpah, that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Of course, at this point, Naomi has now lost her husband, has lost her two sons that had married Orpah and Ruth. Verse number 7. Wherefore, she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to his mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, to the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. Then they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn ye again, my daughters. Will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and ye should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sake that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. They lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave or held on to her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. return thou after thy sister-in-law. Let's examine this character, Orpah. Random fact, if you're one for random facts. The character Oprah was supposed to be named Orpah, but her mom misspelled the name on her birth certificate. True story, okay? So she was supposed to be Orpah, not Oprah, okay? But the character here biblically is Orpah. First off, let's consider her initial choice. You find in verses 6 and 7 that she had decided that she would, specifically, one, seek God's presence, and then number two, that she would seek God's provision. In verse number 6, it says that Ruth arose with her daughters-in-law, for they had heard how the Lord had blessed Israel and that he was providing for them and giving them bread. You find later on that she actually, both daughters-in-law, had gone and were starting at least the process of returning. So her initial choice was, number one, to seek God's presence, to go to the land that God had been, and number two, to seek God's provision, that God was going to provide for them rather than them trying to provide for themselves in the land of Moab. So far, so good for the character Orpah. Number one, her initial choice. Number two, I see her intense concern. If you see verses 8 through 13, you see that Orpah certainly has a care for Naomi. She's going and she's someone that has cared for Naomi. In verse number 8, it says it this way. Naomi says to her daughters-in-law, "Go return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me." So clearly Orpah has a care for Naomi. She had a care for her husband and she had tried to comfort them through this difficult time. You see Orpah as you go through when she's weeping over Naomi. She doesn't want to leave Naomi. She doesn't want to do those things. But you see something interesting take place in verses 11 through 13. In verse 11 through 13, Naomi goes and specifically says how she can no longer have children. And even if she did, they shouldn't and couldn't wait for those children to be grown to marry them. Then you see in verse number 13 that she begins to care more for herself than she cares for Naomi. In these three simple verses, multiple times, five times, it talks about husbands and sons. Specifically, here's the idea. Back in Bible times, if a lady was not married, she didn't have a lot of the privileges that someone that was married would have. She didn't have land. She didn't have a person that would provide for her, a person that would take care of her, that would protect her. And so here, Naomi begins to go and say, "Hey, I don't have a husband to provide for you. I don't have sons to provide for you. I have little to give you." And you can almost picture the wheels turning in Orpah's mind saying, "Yeah, that's right." Sure, she had decided, or at least considered, to go back to Israel and started the trek home there to Naomi's land, but now she's beginning to wonder, hey, is this really a good idea? Orpah was one that was characterized, yes, for intense concern for Naomi. I don't deny that. For intense concern for her former husband. I don't deny that at all. But she also had an intense concern for herself. Orpah wanted to please herself. Can I tell you, friends, there's a lot of people in this world that don't ever serve the Lord because they're too focused on serving themselves. There's a lot of folks in this world that are too focused on pleasing themselves, pleasing what they think, so they never take that step of service. They never go all the way. They go part way, but as Jesus gave in the parable, the cares of this world choke out the fruit that could be produced. Her initial choice, her intense concern, number three, or incomplete conversion. Now, I understand that she certainly was not converted. You cannot be partially converted. I understand that. But you see in this passage that she decides to not trust God and to not receive the Lord, it seems, but to instead trust herself. You find in this passage very clearly, Naomi says it this way, if I can find the verse, she says that your sister has gone back, in verse number 15, She's gone back unto her people and unto her gods, plural. So here Orpah is. She decided not to trust God, but to trust her previous gods, her false gods. Well, why would that be? Well, number one, I would say that she was hindered by the testimony of Naomi. All through this passage, Naomi goes and complains about what God has done in her life. By the way, can I just say, Christian folks here tonight, we shouldn't be complaining about what God allows into our lives. Okay, there are certainly times where God allows things into our lives that are difficult, that are harmful, and there's certainly a place for us to bring up our requests before Him and to pray for them. But we shouldn't be complaining because an unsaved world is listening. Here Naomi is, and Naomi takes a step away from going and pouring out her complaint to the Lord to pouring out her complaint against the Lord. And there's certainly a difference between that. You see in this passage that Naomi says in verse number 13 that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. She says later on that the Lord has dealt bitterly with her. She's almost constantly blaming God for everything that's taken place. Certainly God had allowed it, but at this point, it certainly was harming Orpah and harming Ruth. So much so that Naomi specifically tells Orpah and tells Ruth in verse 15 to go back to her own previous gods. She was a terrible testimony. Can I say, Christian friends, we have a world that's listening to us and we need to be careful what kind of testimony we are. Throughout this last week, throughout the last few days, no doubt you had some unsaved people that you worked with, some unsaved people that came into your sphere of influence that listened to what you said and how you acted. I wonder, did you point them to God or point them away from God? I wonder if you pointed them to the true God or to their own false gods and priorities. She was hindered by testimony. Number two, she was halted by her own choice. Verse number 14, Orpah kisses her mother-in-law goodbye. And in verse 15, Naomi says, "Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law." Number one, we see the quitter in Orpah. By the way, I'm not demeaning Orpah in any way. Oftentimes in our lives, we quit and we turn our back on what God wants to do and how God wants to use us. Can I tell you, folks, we shouldn't be that way. We shouldn't quit on what God has. If God's led us to a point, then we should trust Him to continue. Number one, we see Orpah, the quitter. Number two, we see Naomi, the bitter. Naomi, the bitter. Yeah, throughout this passage, Naomi is very bitter against God. Now, the cause of bitterness is an interesting thing. No doubt, Naomi has faced some pretty big issues and pretty big difficulties in her life, and we would agree with that. At this point, Naomi has lost her husband. She has lost both of her sons, all three of them, seemingly within a very short period of time. That's pretty bad news, right? That's pretty terrible. And certainly that would be something that would be very hurtful and very harmful. And perhaps some would even go and say, oh, well, they have an excuse. This person has an excuse to be bitter. The cause of bitterness. The apparent cause was, of course, the loss. But can I remind you about a character that lost far more than Naomi lost and yet didn't get bitter? You remember the story of Job, do you not? Job loses his entire family. Job loses everything that he has. He goes from one of the richest people of his area to one of the poorest. He loses his health. He loses everything. But yet he still blesses God and still praises Him. Can I tell you, folks, it doesn't matter what you've lost, you don't have a right to be bitter. Nobody in this world has a right to be bitter because God has still been good to them. The apparent cause is the problems, but the real cause, the actual cause, is frankly that she has rejected God, that she's turned her back on God, that she's blamed God. Can I tell you, friend, if you have a bitterness in your life, it's not because of the hurt that came into your life. That may be the surface issue, but the heart of it is your reaction to God and to Him allowing it into your life. In verse number 13, Naomi again says, "The hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Later on, she says in this chapter that God has dealt bitterly with me. The actual reason why Naomi becomes bitter, so much so that she asks to have her name changed to bitter, to Mara, literally that's what Mara means. She's so bitter, why? Not because of her hurt, not because of her damages, not because of her loss, but because of her heart toward God. You see, friend, if you trust God, if you rely upon God, if you put your trust in Him, you don't have to become bitter. You can become better through the trial. As a matter of fact, as we'll look at in just a second, in the character of Ruth, Ruth had lost very similar to how Naomi had lost. Certainly not a child, but Ruth had lost her husband. Ruth had lost her home. Ruth had lost the place that she lived. She had lost everything that she ever owned or possessed. She loses her culture. She loses her friends. But yet, she ends up better than she ever did before because of her reaction and her faith in the God that she barely knew. Friend, if you're struggling with bitterness because of some hurt, some damage, some issue that's taken place, stop blaming God and start trusting Him. The cause of bitterness. Number two, the consequences of bitterness. First off, it separates personally. Throughout this passage, you see that Naomi is telling Ruth and Orpah to leave. You find in verse number 8, it says, "Go, return." In verse number 11, it says, "Turn again." Verse number 12, "Turn again." Verse number 15, "Return thou." In each of these passages, she's basically saying, "I don't want you around me." And can I tell you, friends, a bitter person is just that, one that separates from everybody. Have you ever dealt with someone that's truly bitter? I mean, really bitter? Yeah, they're hard to spend time with, are they not? They're hard to really interact with. They go and they always are bringing up this hurt that happened in the past, and it's just ridiculous that they can't ever get over it. It separates personally. Number two, it separates internally. In verse number 11, she says, "Why would you go with me?" The idea almost is that I have nothing to give. She goes on to talk about how she can't have children anymore, how she doesn't have a husband, but I think even more than that, she's speaking internally. She's saying, "Hey, I don't have much worth in myself." Why? Because the bitterness has eaten her from alive, from the inside. Like the book of Hebrews says, it greatly defiles us, that little root of bitterness. Number three, it separates spiritually. In verse number 15, as we already looked at, she tells Ruth, quite literally, "Go back to your old gods." That's what she says. It separates spiritually. And certainly we have many people, even in our own society, even in our own culture, even friends or family, that because of your bitterness, because of my bitterness, have been separated from the God that loves them because we are angry at that very God. Number four, it separates corporately. In verse 20 through 21, you find when Naomi finally gets back to her hometown, and everyone's so excited to see her. They're so surprised that Naomi's back. They say, "Is this Naomi?" Naomi, the name means blessed. It's someone that's joyful, someone that's happy, or at least it should be. But look at verse number 20. It says, "Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Lord hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi? See, the Lord had testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me." Can you imagine this situation? Imagine, if you will, someone that you haven't seen for some time. You miss them. You haven't seen them in a while. They come into town and you say, "Hey, it's good to see you. Hey, oh my goodness, it's been a long time. Don't call me that. I am bitter." Right? It's kind of what she's doing here, right? Don't call. It's like, it's almost this thing that she just wants to spread to everyone. It's this disease. It's this sickness, right? That she wants to spread to everyone, that she wants to pass on to someone else. She's constantly corporately separating herself from everybody and also causing them to be separated from her. She's so eaten up with bitterness. That's the situation that we find Ruth in. Now you say, why do we cover all these things? Well, we cover all these things because you need to know where Ruth is coming from. Because it's kind of like the illustration that perhaps you've heard many times is almost of a diamond. If you're seeing a diamond commercial or something like that, what do they often do? They put it on a black background so the diamond shines a little brighter. That's kind of what's happening in Ruth's life, is it not? Her own sister goes and turns her back, quits on the Lord. Her mother-in-law, the only real testimony that she has at this point of God, has rejected God, is bitter and angry against God, is blaming God for everything that happened. But we see number three, we see the committer, Ruth. Look at verse number 16. Now, you gotta stay with me here, okay? I know there have been a little bit of glazed looks through this. You gotta stay with me in verse 16, because this is where it gets really good. Okay? You have her sister that quit. You have Naomi that's bitter, but look at verse 16. The committer, Ruth. Naomi's just said, go back to your gods, go back to your people. She said it multiple times. Verse 16, here's what Ruth says. First time Ruth speaks in the entire book. Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. Verse 18. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. Can I tell you, friends, we got a world that wants to quit on God, do we not? We have people that are turning their backs on God, people that are no longer going to church, people that are no longer committed to God, but that doesn't mean you have to quit. We have a world that's bitter against God, that's angry about this, that, or the other, about the problems in our nation or the problems in their own life, but that doesn't mean you have to quit God. We need some Ruths that will commit to God regardless of what this world does. In a world where every man does what's right in their own eyes, we need some people that decide, I'm going to serve God no matter what. Number one, she committed personally. She committed personally. Where you go, I'll go, is what she says. Where you lodge, I'll lodge. This situation, of course, she had this family connection. She lost two of her sons. She lost her husband. She had lost all of these different things. But yet she decided, despite all of it, that she wanted to make God her God. Despite the fact that she lost, just like Naomi lost, just like Orpah lost, she wanted to connect up with God and with her people. She had a friendly connection. A connection that would stay closer than her siblings, closer than her family. Even when her sister walks away, here she is, and she decides to trust God. She has a friendly connection, a proper friend. By the way, can I just say, a proper friend is someone that'll stick by you even when times are tough. We all need a friend like that. That's Ruth. Even when Naomi is low, even when Naomi is beat down, even when Naomi's kind of being ridiculous and sort of a jerk, here Ruth is, and she says, hey, I'm going to be there for you, and I'm going to help you, and I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to stay close even when everyone else leaves. Don't ask me to leave, because I ain't leaving. Number one, she committed personally. Number two, though, she committed spiritually. Spiritually, she says it this way, thy people will be my people, and thy God will be my God. When Naomi goes and says, hey, go back to your old gods, the worst testimony perhaps in the entire Bible, here you see that Ruth says, no, I'm not going back to my gods. Your God is my God. I am going to follow that kind of God. Can I tell you, friends, we need some commitment like that. How dare we, of people that know God, that know a lot more about God than Ruth ever could, how dare we go and be less committed than this Ruth was. You see, of course, in this story that Elimelech, Mahlon, and Chilion. Elimelech being the father-in-law of Ruth. Mahlon and Chilion, one of them being the husband. They were running away from God. They had turned from God. No doubt, probably not even following God. But the little bit that Ruth had picked up, she decided, I want that God to be my God. Friends, we should be committed spiritually like Ruth was. How committed are you to the Lord? Do you quit when things are going bad? Do you get bitter when things are tough? Or do you commit to the Lord and say, hey, He's my God regardless of what takes place? Number three I see in Ruth's commitment, real quick, and then we'll close. She committed constantly. In verse number 17, she says quite simply, hey, wherever you go, I'm going to go. Wherever you die, I'm going to die. That's where I'm going to be buried. Catch it at the end of verse 17. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught, if anything but death part thee and me. Verse 18, and when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. Here she is. She said, hey, I'm going to not just commit personally to you. I'm not just going to personally commit to the Lord, but I'm going to commit consistently and constantly. Can I just say real quickly, friends, it's easy to commit once. It's hard to commit all the time. You with me? It's very easy. Let's take just relationships. It's very easy. It was easy for me to walk down an aisle and for Becky to walk down an aisle to say that I commit myself to Becky. Yes? It's a lot harder for every single day for me to wake up and to clean up Becky's throat. You with me, folks? That's more difficult. We understand that. It's easy for us to say, yes, I committed to the Lord. I'm going to follow Him. I'm going to serve Him. I'm going to do that with my life. It's easy to do that at some point in the past. It's a lot harder to wake up on a Wednesday morning or a Thursday morning or a Friday morning and do that in real life. Am I making sense? Ruth's commitment was not a one-time commitment. Ruth's commitment was a constant commitment, as we'll see through her story. Ruth goes, and when she has no food, when she's going basically begging for scraps on the sides of the field, guess what she's doing? She's providing for Naomi, who's sitting at home whining. That's what you see through the entire book. When Ruth goes and she gets blessed, and she goes and she takes care of Naomi, she feeds her, she takes care of her, she clothes her, she provides for her. When finally Ruth is blessed and she has that husband that she had waited for, that she longed for, when she's married to Boaz, guess what she does? She takes in Naomi. Why? Because she was not just committed in one point, she was committed in every point. And by the way, can I tell you, friends, that's how we need to be. To our Lord, we need to be committed to Him. To those people in our lives, we need to be committed to them to personally help, encourage them, and to lift them up and to strengthen them. We need to be committed. Three choices here of three ladies. Okay? We have the quitter, Orpah, that turned her back on God because of what she thought she wasn't going to get out of it. You have Naomi, the person that was bitter against God. And number three, you have Ruth, the committer, the one that decided, I'm going to commit and I'm going to serve God and I'm going to follow God. No matter what happens, I'm going to follow Him. Listen, friends, where are you? What are you? I hope and pray that you're a committer that decides to commit to God and to follow Him with your whole life. If something needs to change, then tonight, change it. Let's close in prayer, can we? Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You. We're thankful for Your Word. We're thankful for the examples of Ruth here, Naomi, and Orpah. Lord, I'm thankful that You don't just show the good in Your Word, but You sometimes do show the bad, so we know where perhaps we could fall short and where we do fall short. Lord, I pray that You would help us in these things. I pray that You would help us understand the truths that have been given. Lord, help us not to quit on You, certainly. I doubt that anyone here on a Wednesday night would be quitting on You, but perhaps there are some in the back of their mind that are just fed up and they're not trusting You like they should. Maybe they're so focused on their situations and their problems and what they feel they earned that they're kind of slacking off a little bit. Perhaps there are people, I know there are people, and that used to be in our midst that don't really come that much anymore because they've slacked off a little bit. Lord, I pray that you'd help convict us and correct us in that area. Lord, I pray for any that might have a root of bitterness. Lord, it may be a big thing, something that's evident to the world and corporately, or it might be something small that only you or perhaps your family know. Lord, either way, I pray that you'd help us to correct what needs to be corrected, to offer forgiveness, and frankly, to just trust you. If whatever happened, Lord, you allowed it, we can still trust you even through it. And Lord, help us all to be people that commit ourselves to you in the coming days. Lord, it's a crazy world out there. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't trust you. Help us to look to you. Help us to long after you. Help us to be committed to you because we know you because of what you've done for us. Strengthen us in these things, we pray. Be with our prayer quest time now. Lord, I pray that as we break up into groups, Lord, that you'd work through these needs and through these burdens as only you can. And we will thank you for what you're going to do. In the name of Jesus, we pray all these things. Amen. Let's break up into